Ghana News, accurate, fair, balanced, and total.
The Secretary General of the Trade Unions Congress, Kofi Asamoah, says Ghana cannot claim to be a middle-income country if it cannot pay its workers $10 a day. He said though 98% of public service employees have been placed on the single spine salary structure, a significant number of them are still dissatisfied because the new pay policy has woefully failed to enhance their salaries. Mr. Asamoah noted that the achievements made by government in terms of a single spine would be useless if the pay structure fails to address the low pay in the public sector. The Secretary General made a statement at the 15th Ghana TUC GJA Annual Interaction Seminar in Accra. Here is a report by Iradna Paha.
Mr. Asamoah said as Ghanaian goes to the poll next year, the TUC is appealing to government to consider the issue of upward adjustment of salaries. He said many workers can still not meet the basic needs because of low pay despite the implementation of the single spine salary structure. The TUC is of the view that productivity will improve if workers are adequately compensated. The TUC does not believe that exhortations, admonitions and appeals by governments can bring out the best in the Ghanaian worker. The issue of the cocaine-rich thing to sodium bicarbonate, the TUC is taxing government to set up a non-political body to investigate and establish the truth of the issue. TUC believes that no stone should be left unturned in apprehending those responsible, since the disturbing questions have been raised about the integrity of the criminal justice system. The TUC is also concerned about the issue that has broken out over the payment of 58 million Ghana cedis to Alfred Wyoming. The TUC is calling on government to set up a truly independent inquiry and not a presidential commission of inquiry to investigate the matter and submit a report as soon as possible. On elections, the TUC expects politicians to be circumspect in their utterances and actions, since Ghana is bigger and more important than any political party. The president of the Ghana Journalists Association, Ransford Tete, reminded media practitioners that unionization is not a tool for unnecessary confrontation, but one that brings about dialogue and promotes media cooperation involvement in promoting the welfare and excellence in the profession.
Iradna Paha reporting. The Controller and Accountant General Zafel Tufor says the 3-month salary arrears of public servants migrated onto the single spine salary structure SSSS has been paid. He said this should reflect in the accounts of workers. Mr. Tufor, who made this known at a news conference in Accra, said it is in fulfillment of President John Evans Atta Mills' directive. He explained that with the exception of staff of the GES, all institutions that have been migrated onto the SSSS have been paid their 3-month salary arrears in addition to their salary for this month. Mr. Tufor said the staff of GES have only been paid this month's salary, but 3 months arrears will be paid by the 29th of this month, adding that the arrangement has been communicated to the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAGRAD, Teachers and Educational Workers Union, and the GES. He urged the Ghana Commercial Bank to facilitate payment of the salaries before the Christmas break. The Ashanti Regional Branch of the NDC says the posture of the NPP on the 42 million Ghana Cedi judgment to Alfred Wyoming shows the NPP's desperation to win power at all costs. It says the NPP is shifting focus from the successes being chalked up by President Atta Mills. The party said this in a statement signed by its regional secretary, Joseph Yamin. It said the NPP is also shifting focus on the use of the law court for a verdict on issues of law to that of the public. It says the NPP, while in office, abrogated several contracts, a situation which came with huge costs but was settled by the former administration. The statement indicated that the former Minister of Justice and current Education Minister, Betty Mould Idrisu, is now the sign of the NDC in the region. It said the minister has spearheaded the development of educational infrastructure in the region. According to the branch, due to Mrs. Mould Idrisu's track record in the region, it is causing panic in the ranks of the NPP. That is why the NPP is blaming the education minister for wrongdoing. The statement noted that the Ashanti region looks up to Mrs. Mould Idrisu and her performance will vote massively for President Mills next year. The Attorney General's suit against Alfred Wojomo could not be heard when sitting resumed yesterday at the Commercial Court in Accra. The Attorney General, who was not available, was represented by Jasmine Ama, who prayed the call for more time because the two parties are negotiating on a settlement. The Attorney General has sued Mr. Wojomo following the Commercial Court's ruling that Mr. Wojomo may be paid over 51 million Ghana cedis after making a claim against the state. Beatrice Opong has filed this report.
In 2009, Mr. Wojomi made a claim against the state for the payment of 2% of over 1 million euros. According to Mr. Wojomi, who claimed to be a project financial engineer, the amount was what he had arranged to bring into the country following a financial engineering project he undertook for two companies who were bidding for the award of contract to rehabilitate the stadia for the CAN 2008 tournament. Following the court's decision in May 2010, the AG entered into an agreement with Mr. Wojomi to compromise the judgment and pay the amount in three equal installments. After the filing of the terms of settlement, the AG received information that Mr. Wojomi had received settlement by mistake because the then government had indicated in 2005 that it does not take responsibility and was not liable for any transaction entered into by Mr. Wojomi, adding that Mr. Wojomi's role in the transaction does not create any legal relations with the government. Based on this, the AG filed a suit for the court to declare that the terms of settlement filed to the effect that the amount should be paid in installments was procured by mistake and an order to set aside the agreement.
Beatrice Opong's report. An Islamic leader has called on political parties to refrain from using Zongo boys as agents of violence in the run-up to the 2012 elections. According to the president of the Ghana Muslim Academy, Nuruddin Al-Hassan, it is high time politicians saw Muslim youth as discerning and not as agents of political intolerance. Mr. Al-Hassan said the Muslim community is ready to reject any tendencies that will further polarize the political scene. He was speaking at the forum in Accra on political tolerance for 2012 and beyond. Linda Goji was there and now reports.
The forum was organized by the Frigate Ebert Foundation in collaboration with the Interparty Youth Committee. It discussed the role of the Ghanaian youth in ensuring peaceful elections. The president of the Ghana Muslim Academy, Nuruddin Al-Hassan, said measures have been put in place to educate the Muslim community to refrain from acts that will further polarize the nation.
The Muslim youth leadership has been used to perpetuate political violence in this country. What we are saying is that due to a lot of work that we have done, we strongly believe that those things will belong to the past. Going forward, the Muslim youth will not be used anymore. Because the focus is on the 2012 election, basically our emphasis is on education and empowerment of the Muslim youth. That is one area that the Muslim youth is lacking. The core of the problem has to do with lack of education and poverty. And this is something we are trying to address at the grassroots level. And we believe it will have a positive impact and the Muslim youth stay away from violence of any nature.
The CEO of the National Youth Authority, Sedina Temakula Atiyonu, called for collaboration between all political leaders to fight acts that will cause mayhem in the run-up to elections 2012. She stated that Ghanaians will have no place of refuge if the country is torn apart by political rancor with the political instability in its neighboring countries. With this, she advised government and other institutions to frequently organize forums that will provide the platform to sensitize the youth on the need to reduce political tension.
Linda Goji. In a change of fortunes from appalling academic performances over the year, the Atebubu Senior High School Royal Aztec recorded a remarkable performance in the 2011 West African Senior School Certificate Examination, WASI. Out of 311 students who sat for the examinations, 99% passed. This is a vast improvement when compared to 2009, when the school presented 309 candidates with 32% passing. The headmistress, Sophia Adilingia, put the success story of Royal Aztec down to what she described as strategic measures implemented by stakeholders over the years when she addressed the Maiden Excellence Award ceremony of the school at Atebubu in the Bono-Ahafo region. Growing Forest Partnership is an initiative that seeks to develop and support communities to work towards equitable and sustainable management of forest resources. This is to ensure that global discussions about forests include the real challenges facing forest-dependent people and local forest managers. It is expected that they will come up with innovative ways of addressing the challenges. Augustus Akwei has been finding out more on the Growing Forest Partnership. He spoke to Samuel Kwabnanketia, who is a member of the steering committee of the partnership and also the program manager of Trimbebos International Ghana.
EFT is in a way a new one. The genesis of it started with indigenous people petitioning the World Bank about the disbursement of loans which they thought were not getting to them. On that basis, World Bank commissioned IIED as International Institute for Environment and Development of the UK to do a study and come up with recommendations. In the study was very critical of the World Bank and the approach it had taken in the funds in support of indigenous people. And so the Global Forest Partnership was started. Eventually, the name was changed to Growing Forest Partnership. And IIED, IUCN, and FAO were asked to constitute a catalytic group which would be working with the indigenous people. And for Ghana, the Growing Forest Partnership came in to support or to tie together the various initiatives in the forestry sector, which is in support of forestry development and community involvement and things like that.
You heard a member of the steering committee of the Growing Forest Partnership, Samuel Kwabnanketia, talking to Augustus Akwei. A new magazine on safe medicines has been launched in Accra. The 32-page book is to educate the public on how to use medicine safely. The past president of the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana, Frank Boateng, noted that the book has come at a time when people are abusing medicines. He said the safety of medicines is a grave problem which must be dealt with appropriately. Here is a report by Naomi Komi.
Mr. Boateng asked pharmacists to take the responsibility of explaining the use of drugs when patients come to the pharmacy. He said prescriptions should always be managed by the pharmacist in order to provide the right medicines. He said licensed chemical sellers are not pharmacists. Pharmacists, according to him, have more knowledge on drugs. Mr. Boateng urged patients to always confer with the pharmacist to know the type of medicines being issued and what it does to the body. A chief pharmacist at Cocoa Clinic and author of the book, Edward Ampofu, said the responsibility of safe medicine lies with the doctor, pharmacist and patient. He said the book outlines how pharmacists and patients should coordinate, adding that lack of knowledge has led to many disastrous consequences. A managing pharmacist at Victoria's Pharmacy, Doris Boafo Afam, called on the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana to train more pharmacy counter assistants to deliver quality service to the public. She also called for coordination between doctors and pharmacists in order to improve health delivery.
Naomi Komi's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Ghana Trades Union Congress says significant number of public sector workers are still dissatisfied over single spine. Ashanti Regional NDC chastises minority MPP over his call for removal of Betimold Idrisu as Minister of Education over Wayomi's judgment debt. Microfinance and Small Scale Loan Center worried over perception that government funds are free money. Two DCEs in Upper West fired. Police patrol team rescued three large female turtles captured by fishermen after laying eggs at Aplau Beach. Multiple explosions and gunfire rocked three Nigerian cities. DR Congo parliamentary election count on hold as opposition leader Etienne Tshisekedi plans his inauguration. Iraqi vice president blames Prime Minister Nouri Maliki over sudden surge of violence in the country. And in football, Ivorian footballer Yaya Toure adjudged African Footballer of the Year. Please stay tuned.
Now
Radio Ghana News, accurate, fair, balanced and total.
Welcome back. The Chief Executive Officer of the Microfinance and Small Loan Center, Maslow, Beta Ansajan, has described as worrying the perception that government funds are free money, stressing it is a bane to socio-economic development. He said those who entertain that notion mismanage the funds they are loaned with and feel reluctant to repay. Ms. Ansajan was speaking to newsmen at an end-of-year media interaction in Accra. He said the center has hired the services of financial institutions to recover the loans. He described as baseless media speculations that massive loans were disbursed to only NDC foot soldiers. He said the center is open to all, irrespective of the person's ethnicity, party affiliation or religion, provided the applicant is qualified under the scheme. The activities of Fulani herdsmen in the Gusau district have taken a new twist, as some Fulanis are alleged to be seizing cattle from their own kinsmen. A Fulani chief has been subsequently arrested for seizing cattle allegedly on instructions of the DCE. Speaking on Behind the News, the DCE for Gusau, Alhassan Fushemi, denied any involvement in the seizure and assured the people of seeking their best interest at all times.
I was informed by one of my assemblymen to the effect that rumors were going around in town that the chief Lani was going around taking one animal each, precisely a cow each, from all the Fulanis who had run for shelter here, and that he was going to give it to the DCE who had suffered for them. And I didn't take it kindly. I informed my security.
But then, do you find anything wrong with that?
Absolutely. You know, we went on a retrieval mission last week. Some people to the government and the government. They were seizing the cattle while the people were passing or they were running for shelter. And we have about 2 or 3 people in custody now.
The point is that this is a Fulani chief who is going to his own kinsmen, asking them to contribute maybe a cow each to say thank you to you for the help you gave them. Do you think that is wrong?
That's absolutely wrong. We are here, we are custodians of the people of Ghana, and we are supposed to make sure that as government, we are very clean, we are very fair to every individual in the system, supportive, and I will not, in my right hands, take something from somebody who is running for shelter, who has been massacred by some group of people and running for cover. That is why I see it as that. That is what the rumor went and police are investigating the matter.
The DCE for Gusau, Alhassan Fushemi, talking to Abraham Asari. The President John Evans Atta Mills has withdrawn the appointments of 2 district chief executives in the Upper West region with immediate effect. They are Wave Robert Baka, DCE for Sisala West, and Seydou Tumbani, DCE for Wild West. This was contained in a statement signed by the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuel Ofosu Ampofo. The statement asked the outgoing DCEs to properly hand over to the Upper West Regional Minister, Alhassan Isahaku Salia, who exercised oversight responsibility over the district. A police patrol team has rescued 3 large female turtles which visited the Plaue Beach to lay eggs and were about to be killed by a group of fishermen. The suspicion of the police was aroused when they saw a group of fishermen at the beach near the Plaue Market. A police source said the fishermen fled when they spotted the police team. The source said the 3 reptiles were sent back into the sea, but their eggs could not be found. Sea turtles have been declared endangered species by law, making their capture and sale for meat illegal.
Radio Ghana News, accurate, fair, balanced and total.
The news continues, and now the international segment. Vote counting in Congo's parliamentary elections has been put on hold. This was announced by the country's Electoral Commission because it says it needs international help to complete counting following allegations of rigging in last month's presidential polls. More than 18,000 candidates contested 500 parliamentary seats. Meanwhile, opposition leader Etienne Tshisekedi plans to inaugurate himself as president today after rejecting the incumbent Joseph Kabila's victory. This is the first election organized by the Electoral Commission since the end of the war in 2003. The first poll in 2006 was held under the auspices of the UN. Authorities in DR Congo have pledged to investigate reports that security forces have killed at least 24 people since President Joseph Kabila's contested re-election. Justice Minister Emmanuel Luzolo Bambi said his office would work with Human Rights Watch to try to document each case, adding that he had already spoken with prosecutors. He said if the allegations are verified, the Justice Department will take action. Multiple explosions and gunfire yesterday rocked three cities in Nigeria's northeast, leaving at least one person dead. The unrest broke out in the cities of Maiduguri, Damaturi, and Potskum. Six blasts and gunfire hit Maiduguri residents after explosions and shooting earlier broke in Damaturi, with a church also burnt. Reports say a 10-year-old boy was caught in the shootout and is now in hospital undergoing surgery to remove the bullets. At least 20 people have died in floods after unusually heavy rains hit Tanzania's main city of Dar es Salaam. The Tanzanian Meteorological Agency, TMA, has warned that the downpour is set to continue and has told those living in the city's valleys to move. Reports say the city's business activities have come to a standstill. Several main roads that link the city to the suburbs are flooded and some bridges have been destroyed. According to the TMA, this is the heaviest rains Tanzania has experienced since independence in 1961. Meanwhile, the government has set up 12 centers to temporarily accommodate an estimated 5,000 people displaced by the floods. Iraqi Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi says Prime Minister Nouri Maliki is to blame for the sudden surge in violence in the country. Mr. Hashimi, who is subject to an arrest warrant on terror charges, said Mr. Maliki should be focusing on security but not chasing patriotic politicians. The crisis has sparked fears of renewed sectarian conflict in Iraq. Mr. Maliki is from the majority Shia Arab group, while Hashimi is one of the country's most prominent Sunni politicians. The U.S. has offered a reward of $10 million for information leading to the arrest of a man, Yasmin Al-Suri, whom they say is a key Al-Qaeda facilitator and financier. Mr. Al-Suri is a Syrian operating with the support of the government of Iran. The bounty aims to disrupt the financial network that is said has operated from within Iran's borders since 2005. U.S. State Department official says it is the first time a terrorist financier has been targeted in such a way. Pakistani Prime Minister Yusuf Rajiv Dalimi says conspirators are planning to bring down the country's civilian government without specifically blaming the military. He said it is accountable to parliament and no institutions could be a state within a state. His government is struggling with a memo scandal that has forced the resignation of the Pakistani ambassador to the U.S. and threatens the president. The leaked memo allegedly asked for U.S. help to prevent a military takeover. And Ivorian and Manchester City star Yaya Toure has been crowned the 2011 African Footballer of the Year in Accra. Yaya Toure fended off challenge from Mali's Sadi Keita and Ghana's Dede Ayew, who won the second and third positions. The 28-year-old star, renowned for his skill, power and technique, led Manchester United to their first ever FA Cup victory in 35 years, scoring the solitary goal in the Man of the Match performance against Manchester United in the semi-final. He again scored the match against Stoke City in the finals of the same competition. The Manchester City star has an exemplary in the Ivorian national team, pulling the strings in midfield and playing a key role in qualifying the Ivorians to the 2012 Nations Cup to be held in Guinea and Gabon. When the nominees for the Footballer of the Year was announced, Partizan patrons present at the Banquet Hall State House Accra were firmly rooting for Ghana's Dede Ayew, but it was not all too surprising when Yaya Toure was named as the 2011 King of Africa Football. To end the news, the main point again. The Ghana Trades Union Congress says most public sector workers are still dissatisfied over the single fine because the new pay policy has woefully failed to enhance their salaries. The Ashanti Regional Branch of the NDC says the posture of the NPP on the 42 million Ghana City judgment to Alfred Woyomo shows the NPP's desperation to win power at all costs. The party said this in a statement signed by its regional secretary, Joseph Yamin. The chief executive officer of the Microfinance and Small Loan Center, Maslok Besa Asajan, has described as worrying the perception that government funds are free money, stressing it is a bane to social economic development. Counting in Congo's parliamentary elections has been put on hold. This was announced by the country's election commission because it says it needs international help to plan to complete counting following allegations of rigging in last month's presidential polls. And Ivorian and Manchester City's star Yaya Toure has been crowned the 2011 African Footballer of the Year in Accra. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.